This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. I've got the managing editor of the Free Press, that is the Columbus Free Press, in the studio, Michael Allwood. Michael, welcome to The Other Side of the News.
Robert, always a pleasure to be with you, and wonderful once again to see the lovely Suzanne Patzer at the helm, as always. And it's, like I said, my pleasure to be here.
And you may remember that voice, those of you who used to listen to WVKO when it was a progressive station.
When fans, it was, yes.
Fans of the Blue State Diner. And again, I did a show on there as well, Fight Back.
Fight Back with Dr. Bob. It was a pleasure to produce that program, and we had many memorable hours on the air, bringing to light the issues and the important facts of the day, things that resonate throughout society, things that impacted the citizens of Columbus, Ohio, and indeed the nation.
Well, one of the reasons I brought you in, Michael, not only because the June Free Press is out, and I think it's the best-looking issue so far, the most colorful, and you're to be congratulated for that, along with, of course, the graphics artist,
Jason Kroniger.
So Jason did a
magnificent job, especially on the cover, and indeed, you're absolutely correct. It is the most colorful issue we have ever published, and of course, you can read all about the upcoming ComFest in it, a community tradition since 1970, I believe.
Well, I think it was 1972. Free Press is 70, Community Fest 2 years
all
later,
right?
Because we were the original, one of the few original sponsors and the original advertising site.
And, of course, our old friends Daryl and Rosie Mendelson, who originated ComFest, will probably still have some sort of presence at the ComFest this year, even though they have stepped back and relinquished control of the ComFest to the community board that now officiates those festivities. But
right,
it will be good to see Daryl and Rosie again.
Right. So, again, the fabulous Mendelson brothers there. Now, before we talk about the paper, the key reason I brought you in is, having been in the newspaper business as well as radio for a long time, dating back, I believe, to the 70s.
Yep.
And having written,
much as I hate to admit it,
for alternative papers like the Free Press, but early on, as well as CM Media owned entities.
And by the way, it's interesting because what's going on with the Dispatch right now sort of mirrors what happened with CM Media.
Yeah, just on a bigger scale. But
on a bigger scale. And what's really ironic is New Media Investments, which is the purchaser of the Dispatch this past week, they plan to take some of the magazines published by the Dispatch and use them across their other audiences in other cities and duplicate those formats. And among the ones mentioned by New Media is Columbus Monthly, which was the flagship magazine for CM Media. CM Media meant Columbus Monthly. And they plan to duplicate that publication in their other cities where they have publications and make them clones, if you will, of CM Media, Columbus Monthly. And I found that sort of ironic.
Well, because the Dispatch, once it bought up, well, the remnants of CM Media, which was owned by a Texas corporation?
Correct.
I think it was the Dallas area.
Yes.
Had bought it up. is the Columbus Monthly under the Dispatch is that the Dispatch couldn't duplicate CM Media because CM Media really was a critical, thoughtful alternative, which was far more investigative.
Absolutely.
Than the new Columbus Monthly under the Columbus Dispatch that essentially exists to kiss the ass of the powerful. One of the best magazine articles I've ever read across the spectrum was, and I first came into town in the late 80s, was the one on the Titan, right? Six men who rule Columbus. It was muckraking journalism, like, don't tell me who's the mayor, who's on city council. Let's talk about who really runs, who the oligarchs are, who are the few, the wealthy, the multimillionaires and one billionaire that actually call the shots in town.
Les Wexner, John Wolfe.
Two Wolfs. JW and JF.
Yeah, right.
And then the others had to do, of those six, CEO, of course, of two banks, the Huntington and of course, the bank that got bought up by Chase.
Mm-hmm. Let's not forget Don Casto.
I think he was in the next tier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as we're kind of, they had these. Here's
only
the
because he's
tier.
Semi-retired.
Right. And to some extent.
Because the Casto Group is still a major power player.
Yeah, and a lot of times the developers, if you update that story, but Nationwide, the CEO of Nationwide, was on the list as well.
Do you remember who the author was by any chance? Was it Eric Lytle by any chance?
I thought it was Ray
Pat Brocky. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, that's my recollection, but I'd have to check the record.
No, that
there.
Sounds right to me, yeah. Can we just quickly, you mentioned the buyout of CM Media initially from that Texas group. Max Brown, of course, owned CM Media for many, many years. He created it, did a very good job. Investigative journalism was a cornerstone of what they did. The other paper did... One thing that sticks out in my mind was the Media Morsels, which was a weekly feature in the other paper. And I know that Suzanne remembers Media Morsels.
Well,
where
Suzanne actually worked for that company. But.
And I never saw her. Not one time. But that's okay. We worked in different parts of the building. But what it did was point out the foibles of local media, where they fumbled the ball, where they misinformed the public, and a favorite target of the other paper in their Media Morsels feature was, of course, the Dispatch, which has a decidedly biased opinion of the news. They are very quick to support candidates that they can get in their pocket.
Hold right there. Today, front page story in the Dispatch on John Kasich picking up steam and support. Now, I'm a political scientist.
I noticed the same
there
thing.
There was a poll, Michael. John is polling at 2%. So I don't know.
And he's
who exactly are these masses he's picking up, but he's at 2% of the vote, for God's sake, Michael.
Now, here's the irony in that. John Kasich is a former on-air personality for Fox News, and Fox News is going to sponsor the Republican debate. And John Kasich is not yet on the radar of the top 10 Republican candidates. And like you said, 2%. He's at like number 13 or 14 in the running, and his former employee, Fox News, is not going to let him in the debate if he doesn't climb up, but maybe with the help of the Dispatch.
Well, I read today, Michael, on the front page of the Dispatch on Sunday, that he is picking up steam. His message is...
Hot air is more like it.
And somebody's trying to blow it up other body orifices to the masses in Columbus. But Hey, to his credit, he's now polling at twice his high point.
4%?
No. He used to poll at 1% in
2000. I'm sorry.
He's doubled.
All the way up to 2%.
It's showing. And,
outstanding.
From when he ran for president. When
Can I tell you a little aside?
Sure.
Veronica is very, very, very good at taking care of
That's Michael's wife.
Very, very good at taking care of the kittens. And she is, without fail, cleans out the litter box every single day. And she puts the results into plastic Kroger bags and ties them in a knot, and she puts them by the front door. And it's my job to take it out to the... And so we call these bundles Kasichs. because it's lying there, and it's a sack of crap. So we take the Kasich to the dumpster. That's what we do with it.
Well, you're going to regret this. I read in a very reliable newspaper that he is picking up steam, Mike. No, they didn't say what the steam smells like.
Emanating from the Kasich. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So I think, getting back to this media takeover, it's... And I hate to say this,
they had it coming.
My first job was delivering the Columbus Dispatch back in the day when young kids were given the opportunity to make a little money by delivering the Dispatch. Veronica,
was that when Goebbels was running it or Goring?
No. I'm not that old, Bob.
Okay, yes, right. That'd be World War II.
Yeah,
this was
in the 60s, not the 30s. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I just thought it was part of a propaganda machine. They got you.
It could have been. But Veronica, in fact, has a niece and nephew who are now adults with families and everything else, who actually got scholarships by delivering the Dispatch as teenagers in high school. Received scholarships from the Dispatch to go to college.
It seems like a worthy program.
And it was a worthy program, and it taught thousands of young people in Central Ohio responsibility and a work ethic. And then at some point in time, the Dispatch decided they weren't going to hire kids to do this anymore, and instead, farmed it out to independent contractors.
Probably the Reagan years, because we lost so many jobs, there were adults willing to do what used to be done by 12-year-olds, Michael. But they loved Ronald Reagan. In fact, in The Boys on the Bus, the famous non-fiction book on the 72 campaign, they actually made fun of the Dispatch presidential reporter because... They said he was the only one. Nixon would always wave bye to the press before getting on his plane, and the only guy who would wave back was the Dispatch reporter with tears in his eyes, and he would say, "Bye, Mr. President."
Well, as an aside, in my opinion, Nixon was a far better president than Reagan was, but, again, that's an aside. But my point about that is that although... we have had philosophical and political differences with the Dispatch over the years, both you and I.
Yeah, and basically at the core of them, Michael, this is it. We actually feel the people in the city should control Columbus, not six incredibly wealthy people that don't live in the city, nor do we think they should get $250 million bailout and then attack our newspaper claiming we needed a bailout when we never... asked for a bailout and went to the government. But the Wolf family got $25 million from the casino tax money. We got zero.
Absolutely correct. But again, I would rather see the Dispatch in the hands of the Wolf family than in new media investments.
And why is that?
Because they do understand Columbus, much as they like to manipulate the market. they at least do understand it.
Well, they own 93% of all the print media last time I looked.
And in actuality, in practicality, it's 100%. And I know that we're supposed to go to a break now.
This is WCRS, your community radio, 98.3, 102.1. I'm here in the studio with Michael Allwood, managing editor of the Free Press. And we're talking about the recent acquisition by an outside corporation of the closely held family operation known as the Wolf Family Newsletter,
or as I
a.k.a.
like
to, the Dispatch.
Or as I like to call them, the Wolves. But are you in agreement with me on that, that I would rather see the Dispatch in the hands of the Wolf Family than a New York Stock Exchange publicly traded company of who borrowed $25 million of the dollars? Supposedly, the guesstimate on this buyout was $33 million, and they borrowed $25 million of that in order to make this?
Yeah, that's such a stunningly low number. I agree. It's, you know, you think, what did they buy CM Media for? Or even,
they
you
got
know.
that at fire sale price, because the group that bought American Family newspapers is the group that initially bought CM Media. And of course, they came in to CM Media and they gathered all the employees around and they assured us, each and every one, that nothing was going to change, that everything will go on as normal and don't worry about it. A month or two, I forget the timeline, American Family Newspapers was in fact purchased by yet another corporate entity, a publicly traded New York Stock Exchange giant media corporation bought out American Family Newspapers. And that's when the Kasich hit the fan. I told you that story, so I could tell you this one.
It was practically a Full Metal Kasich.
Yep. And they basically fired a third of the building. They brought us in on a Thursday.
And which publication were you working for?
I was working for Suburban News. Had been there for...
SNP.
Had been there for nearly 12 years. Four times I was the sports writer of the year in Ohio. In fact, when they called me in that fateful day, I was the reigning sports writer of the year for Ohio.
And you pointed that out, and they kept you.
I didn't point it out. They knew it. I asked them this one question. I said, do you have any idea of the level of contacts that I have in my community, the relationships I have developed with people in my communities? And I'm talking about Whitehall, Grove City, and most importantly, Upper Arlington, which was the flagship paper of Suburban News, the Upper Arlington News. Do you have any idea of my level of contacts, the people I can go to? And they said, no. I said, how do you expect to replace that? And they said, we don't. I said, I guess we got nothing more to talk about. If you don't expect, it's like they didn't care. And I couldn't understand that. It's like these papers serve these communities throughout Central Ohio. And you don't give a damn about it? Why are you getting in this business? And so when I think about what's happening with new media investments taking over the Dispatch, I can't help but wonder if their mindset isn't exactly the same as what happened at CM Media. and that they don't actually care about the community in Central Ohio.
Well, here's their model. Their model is, okay, they'll leave, J.F. Wolf in charge and some of his people for content. But what they're going to do is come in and, you know, cut that workforce.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
That happened to
right,
you.
Right, right, right.
You know, they're going to lay off tons of people and to do this on the cheap because it's an investment. It's no ties to the community per se.
And Mike Reed, who is the CEO of New Media Investments, went to the West Side printing facility on, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, I forget which day it was, to talk to the employees. And his major message to the Dispatch employees was, hey, trust us. Give us a chance to show you. And I'm thinking to myself when I read this, and it was Business First who reported the story, they talked to employees who remain nameless because they were specifically told not to talk to the press. So they got anonymous sources for what happened at this meeting. But it seems to me when the CEO comes and says, hey, trust us, you better get some KY jelly ready because you're about to take it. And on 3rd downtown in the famous Dispatch building, which, by the way, the Wolf family is retaining in their possession and will rent out to New Media Investments, there's some nervous people.
And, well, they should be if the formula plays out.
So and how can it not? This is you said it just a moment ago. This is an investment. They want return on their dollar. The only way they can do that is trim. You know, payroll is the biggest outlay in terms of money.
And they actually, I read they had to borrow 25. It was a $33
right,
million
exactly,
dollar
yes.
deal. They borrowed 25. They have to pay back.
And subsequently.
And make money.
Right. And subsequently, it should be noted that New Media's stock took a nosedive after the announcement of this purchase. It fell dramatically.
Well, it'll go up when they start riffing everybody. I think that isn't there like a 30-day commitment not to lay anyone
I haven't
off?
Seen that.
I saw that reported that well, they announced that, a freeze for...
That may only
for,
be...
No, 90 days. It was
that
a
may only be because
freeze.
The deal takes that long to go through.
You're right. Yeah, 90 days. It may take that long for the deal
to
be
finalized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's so that, not that big a concession.
It's no concession at all. It's they won't have the right to do that until that period is up.
We're not laying anyone off till the deal is finalized. Thanks.
Yeah, really. You know, back in the day, it's not so much anymore since in the mid to late 90s when the Dispatch started changing dramatically. Back when, I'm sure you remember, the Dispatch was a true Broad Street newspaper. It was a real newspaper, not the trimmed down...
Truncated
format.
Shriveled. I like shriveled better.
But they used to call it the Golden Handcuffs. That's what Dispatch employees, most notably the writers, called their position at the Dispatch. They called it the Golden Handcuffs because they were paid very well. Within the industry, the Dispatch paid better than, you know, 95% of the newspapers in the country. But at the same time, they were shackled into what they could write.
Well, I know, but I think that was good because half of the dozen or so awards I won came from Dispatch reporters who couldn't report it in their own newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out well for me. I mean, when I used to write for Columbus Alive when it was independent, quite seriously, about half of the stories that were blockbusters came from dispatch writers who weren't allowed to write what they knew and had already written as a story.
I've had similar experiences in the past where dispatch reporters have given me information that they themselves could not report.
So they get a lot of money, comfort, and all they have to do is sell their soul and professional integrity.
That's golden handcuffs. That's it in a nutshell.
But again, this takes away some of that power because it's no longer up to J.F. Wolfe to reward those that muzzle themselves. And I'm talking, they had some really good now gone investigative reporters.
Absolutely.
Who knew stuff that nobody else knew, and they were muzzled in exchange for good pay. So he can't control that now. So who knows what's going to happen. He can't shut them up quite as much or force them to leak to some other news source.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, and if history shows us anything, of those who are not culled from the ranks, those who remain, their work level, their amount of work required of them will increase dramatically, which is what happened with those who remained at CM Media. There was the same amount of work to be accomplished, but far fewer people to do it. And so they required those who remained as if a reward for keeping their job. You can now do twice as much work, and we don't give a damn how many hours a week it takes for you to accomplish it. Just get it done and be thankful you still have a job.
Yeah, because before the Dispatch bought up the other paper, it looked like they only had one hand of writers and editors left. I mean, they had freelancers, but actual writing staff had shrunk so much.
There were only two or three who were actually
full-time staffers
left at the other paper in those waning days.
And the Dispatch has some great, they got some people, Alan Johnson, I think has done great reporting, particularly on the death penalty, the prison system. And actually, I'm a fan of Joe Blundo as well. Who,
by the way, is a former Suburban News.
Oh, is it?
Employee? Yes, yeah. He worked at S&P before going to the Dispatch.
So
there's a number of people over there who were former S&P people, or have been in the past. I know that the one-time movie critic Nick Chortis, who's a friend of mine. Was at S&P for a number of years before he was hired by the Dispatch and subsequently let go because they decided to farm out movie reviews to the wire services.
And often to the Alive with Melissa Starker.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we only got a minute here. Michael, what do you want to tell the listeners in the last minute?
Pick up a copy of the Free Press. And
Black Columbus debates Coleman's legacy.
Yes. And Jonathan Beer did a great job of taking the pulse of the African American community in Columbus and their feelings on Michael Coleman, which are how should we say lukewarm.
Right.
It's important, and our motto has been from the start and remains today, now more than ever. And I think that in the light of what's happening with the Dispatch, that motto has more ring to it than ever before. Now more than ever, Columbus needs the free press because it's unbridled truth. It is unabashedly straightforward. You want to know what the truth is? Get it out of the free press, because that's what we offer every time we go to print.
Word.
It's
we're done, Michael.
The great truth.
All right. Great statement.